Good morning, church. So before Barrett leads us in a time of communion, we need to spend a little time doing some family business. Our documents with the state say that at the beginning of the year, we will hold an annual meeting with the members. And I realize the directory calls it the Shepherd's Vision 2025. If I were to title it, I would say it is the annual meeting 2025, a family conversation. Because at Southside, we don't use the term church much if we don't couple it with the term family. We like that to use that term, family, because it describes how we want to interact and how we want to be for each other. Scripture uses the term brother and sister, and we model those one another passages that were written to the Christians in the first century. Verses like, welcome one another as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God, Romans 15. Love one another in brotherly love, Romans 12. Bear one another's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ, Galatians 6. Walk in a manner worthy of our calling, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4. This is how we try to do life together. Life as a family, united by the Spirit for the glory of God. And hopefully each of you have felt that and found family here at Southside. But there's also another term that the leadership uses instead of church, and it's body. We like the term body because it describes the function. In Ephesians 4, Scripture encourages us to remember that we are the body of Christ. And in a few verses later, he will describe that function. We are to grow up, all of us, in every way, unto him who is the head, Christ Jesus, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, with each part working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And what we take away from those passages are that everyone is part of the body. Everyone has a gift, is equipped, has a role. And when everyone is using that role, the church grows and flourishes. That's what Southside believes. That's what Southside practices. And it has been very life-giving to our church. And you've seen it in a variety of different ways. Since the early 2000s, our leadership, way before this leadership, current leadership, adopted an elder shepherd model, which had been different than perhaps what some may describe as the boardroom model of old. And I'm not disparaging that. It's just a different type of philosophy. What that means for us as leadership is that we don't dictate body life from the top down. One of our shepherds who used to be here during Southside 101 would tell all the new members that we are a permission-giving shepherds. We're permission-giving leadership. And what he meant by that is that we come alongside and support and pray for the passions that you have as our members, the ministries that you want to be involved in or that you want to start, so that our ministries here at Southside are organic. They're not artificial, something we impose on the people. And if you were to look at any of our ministries, you'd see that, whether it was Susanna Holmes or the Hope Lodge, whether it was Cebu Bible College, Miss Kathy's Place, or Bible Translators. What you're going to see is that each of those ministries started with a very compelling story. If you were to just kind of peel it away and go back to kind of the point of origin of each of those ministries, what you're going to find is a person or a couple or a family that cared about orphans. that cared about disadvantaged, displaced, suffering people, that cared that people didn't have a Bible to read in their own language. And they shared that passion with us, and we adopted that passion. And that's a beautiful thing that we have here at Southside, that we join those kinds of works together as a family. And over the years, Southside has been blessed, as it is now, with a number of gifted men and women who are very passionate and who love to serve this body and do serve it in a variety of ways. We as a leadership want that to happen. We want everyone to find a ministry to be involved in or to start one that you're passionate about, that you feel called to. We want to hear from every part of the body. We want to hear from young and old. We want to hear from men and women. Because we believe that when everybody contributes, as Ephesians describes, that's when our body grows. That's when our body flourishes. And we hope that you've experienced this. In your life groups, you may be doing life with people who are in the same stage as you. And you're sharing your struggles together, and you're sharing your successes together, and you're building family. Or you're in an intergenerational group where you're listening to a widow talk about her grief because she's lost her spouse. And you're hearing a teen talk about the challenges of his faith. And you see the body and the family at work in those two things. You've seen that when our teens lead worship for the adults. And you see it at VBS when it takes the whole family to put on something for our children. And, you know, particularly, I want to point out that in talking about giftedness, VBS is one of the rare times that you see art used as a gift to glorify God. If you haven't been and seen, you know, the coral reef that was here last year to make these Bible stories come alive, then you've missed a great thing. This is the kind of thing we mean when we talk about family. This is the kind of thing we mean when we talk about body. So let's have a family conversation, okay? So we want to sort of highlight four areas that are coming up in 2025. They are our teaching, preaching, our men, our women, and our budget. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. So in our teaching in 2024, we continued what we consider to be kind of the core of our Bible teaching, where we teach biblical interpretation, how to have an inductive Bible study. We talk about spiritual discernment and cultural discernment. We talked about understanding prophecy, church doctrine, church unity. Because we think it's important as a leadership that the Bible frame our understanding of the world, not secular culture. That God has a word for us on how to navigate life. And we want to be real about that. So we revive classes like Financial Peace University. And we introduce classes like the Bible and mental health. And you'll see all those continue and on into 2025, but you'll see some additional things, like the parenting class that's going on taught by Joshua and Susan Samples in the gathering space right now, for all of us trying to figure out parenting. Or you're looking at a class that will be coming up in the future talking about retirement and financial obligations as you get older. And that will be taught in a class, I think it's entitled Finishing Well, with Rusty McAllister and Miss Carolyn Caraway. You're going to see a class on spiritual brokenness and healing. You'll see our textual studies as well, taught by our resident scholars on Peter, Philemon, Jude, and I think Romans. And we want all that to happen in our teaching program in 2025. In our preaching, we're going to have an absence. We're not going to have Kevin in our preaching rotation in 2025. And we shared why. He's got health issues that he needs to focus on, so we're going to take that off his plate. So what does that mean? It means you're going to see a lot more of Trace and a lot more of Jeremy in the pulpit in 2025. And as I understand it, the theme for the teaching coming up in 2025 is the word allegiance. Allegiance. After Barrett finishes his series on Psalms, he'll start a series on allegiance, faith as allegiance. And then he and Jeremy and Trace will explore the Gospel of Matthew, asking the question, what is the gospel and what is faith? And what they're going to suggest or challenge us with is the idea that allegiance is where faith and the gospel meet. And so we look forward to that teaching in 2025. All right, number two, our men. This year, we're going to start a search for additional men to add to the leadership. And if you think to yourself right now, didn't we just do this? The answer is yes, we did. That's why it feels like that. In 2022, we brought on three more shepherds. And if I could sum up in one reason why we need to do it again, it's grandbabies. It seems as though when families start expanding and contracting that we have people who need to move away or need to step aside to fulfill other God-given roles in their life. And as a recent example of that, Dale Williams will be stepping down this year as a shepherd. He and Sandy have added five grandchildren in the last 5 years. Their life looks a little different, which causes them to be away from the family here to be with their family. And so we celebrate that with them, but it does raise a need. They have served our church in the capacity of shepherd for about 12 years. And in that time, you've seen them build a strong foundation in many of our kids here at Southside. They've worked tirelessly in the children's ministry, Sandy, sort of the backbone of that ministry. And they've shaped a lot of people who are in this room and their kids. And they've been here so long, it's been kids, teens, and now young adults. And so we're happy that they now get to do that with their own family, but it just leaves a void for us. Dale is going to remain on working with the financial team. He will just need to step away from the role as shepherd, but that just means we need to add some people to the leadership team. You may recall that in 2022, we had 15 men, good men, nominated to serve and to consider the role of shepherd. And, you know, we're a church of 400 plus. I want to emphasize when we talk about the term nomination, I want you to understand what that means. It's not that just somebody thinks you're a good guy and writes your name on a piece of paper. Nomination process here, when we use that term, we mean that you have thought of people who could serve in this capacity, that you have approached those people and told them you think they can serve in that capacity and ask them to do it, and they give you permission to write your name down. That's what we mean. There's a whole lot of good men in this congregation, way more than 15, who are already just serving the church here in other ways, and serving God in other legitimate ways. Being a shepherd is just one aspect of service that's available to the men here. But it has to be the right time. It has to be the right season for us and for them. All the men that were nominated last year served a year-long study on leadership with the shepherds, and it was, I think, encouraging. And so we're very excited to see who the Spirit leads us to in these roles for 2025. Now, simultaneous with that process is that we want an opportunity for you to reaffirm the existing shepherds. This did not take place last year. We missed it. We accidentally omitted that aspect in 2022. We don't want to do that this year. Now, we hope you know that at any time, you could address any of the shepherds with any questions you have or concerns you have or encouragement you'd like to give. That's available anytime, and we hope you know that. But what we wanted to do and what we will do this time is set aside an intentional period of time for you to go to the existing shepherds and ask questions, raise concerns, give encouragement. So that if perhaps one of us, two of us, all of us need to step aside, that We're not doing that at the end of the process. We're doing that at the beginning of the process so that we can account for that. So I want to show you the schedule. This is what it's going to look like. In March, we're going to elect a steering committee, select a steering committee to kind of head up that search. In April, there'll be some teaching about eldership from the pulpit. In May, we'll have a nomination and reaffirmation period. In June, the committee will report back what the congregation has told them about all the men that they think would be good for serving. In June, there will be several opportunities that these individuals will meet with the ministers, and they'll meet with the shepherds. There'll be a questionnaire, there'll be question and answers. And then we'll try to finalize that in July, where the men that are selected will then serve what we call an internship, which is a very poor use of the term. Really, I would call it a test drive. We're test driving each other to see if the relationship is good and that they understand the work. And then November, we'll have affirmations. And then we'll go on a retreat, get to know each other a little bit better. And that's what that will look like for our men. So again, we're very excited to look forward to that process of finding who the Lord will lead to us in that respect. All right, number three, our women. You don't have to be around Southside very long to know that an integral part of our flourishing here as a church is due to the women of our congregation. We're blessed with a lot of good ladies who are devoted and who serve this congregation from one end to the other. They'll serve it in the nursery all the way up to adult life. In early 2000, the opportunities for women at Southside began to expand a little bit, and you witnessed that in a number of contexts. You saw women in classes and in life groups, team teach, say prayers, and read scripture. You've seen them serve in ministry roles, not just children's, but on behalf of our hospitality group, our visitor ministry, youth ministers as well, and campus. You've seen them on search committees looking for new staff. You've seen them in missions. You've seen them on missions. You've seen them on the adult ed, giving us input on the curriculum for the coming year. And you've seen them from time to time in our Sunday gatherings, giving mission reports, making announcements, and giving their testimony. I want you to know that none of those opportunities occurred by accident or because that there was a vacuum of male leadership. That's not why. Those opportunities were provided at the prayerful, studied consideration of the leadership. Not just this current leadership, but leaderships in the past. And those opportunities have been implemented gradually and purposefully over the years to reflect that model that we talked about in Ephesians 4, where every part of the body does its share to cause the body to grow. A church will benefit when it has both male and female perspectives, and our leadership believes that. In 2003, the shepherds then came up and studied and wrote a statement called The Theology of the Roles of Men and Women in the Local Church. Now, you've heard that taught from over the course of the years. You may not have known it. There was a statement. We're happy to make that available to you. And the 2004 leadership spent a year looking at Corinthians, Ephesians, and Timothy, and we adopted that statement that was drafted in 2003. I want to share with you an excerpt from it because I think it'll frame this discussion about summarizing at least that theology. And there's more to it, and again, the statement can be provided, but we believe that men and women have the same value in God's sight, Galatians 3 and verse 28, but they do not have the same roles. They're not called by God to do the same things. And we also believe that headship is supracultural. Okay, I said it. Headship and supracultural. What does that mean? Well, the term head we've already looked at in Ephesians 4 when we said Christ is the head of the body. He perfectly modeled what we use as the biblical word headship. But what it really means is a position of primary responsibility and care, like you see Jesus do to his body. Supercultural means that this is a Bible principle that transcends time. It transcends culture. It is the same in regardless of the culture or the time that you find it in. And we believe that because we see Paul tie the male responsibility way back to the very beginning in Genesis when he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11. And so with that being said, we do believe that the application of that principle will vary congregation to congregation. It'll look different in different places, and we respect that. And we believe that's what was happening in Corinth, as Paul was helping them use that biblical principle in the context that they found themselves in the first century. So we've recognized that there have been these opportunities for our sisters, except in the 1 hour that we spend together here in this auditorium, that this time has not been consistent with those other times where our women have participated in family life. And so in 2025, we want to make all those places congruent and consistent. So throughout the course of the next year, the worship team, consisting of Gregory and Barrett and Ron, will be opening scripture reading and prayer time that right now is presently dominated by the song leader, and it has been since COVID, 2020. Those two things have been pretty much done by our worship leader. But that team is going to begin to ask women and men to serve in those roles or those opportunities, in addition to the roles and opportunities that already exist time to time for men and women in this 1 hour time that we share together on Sunday. Now, I raise that here because this is a new opportunity, and we want to be transparent about that. No surprises. We want to share out loud what's been the leadership's understanding about these roles since the early 2000s. And so the other thing about this is that perhaps some of you have the notion that the leadership may be swept up in the cultural tide that exists. And I'm saying right now we are not. Okay? What we want to do with this space is honor our ladies. We want to understand and utilize and appreciate their giftedness. We want to hear their voice. And we want to allow the church to continue to benefit where all parts of the body are doing its work. We will see that in 2025. Number four, lastly, our budget. Our financial team is pretty incredible. They do a great job tracking and forecasting and managing our contributions. And as a result of that discipline and your giving and God's grace, we have and maintain a year's worth of expenses for our church. And in 2020, that was incredibly important because we had family who were sick and family who were out of work. And this church didn't skip a beat as a result of that. And so if you're familiar with the story of Joseph and the lean cows, the financial team had us ready when the lean cows came. So let's look at some numbers here. In 2024, our budget, what we put together, was $964,434. That's what we projected to spend for Southside. We came under that in our actual spending, but close, $961,383. But more importantly, contributions exceeded the budget that we set out for you in 2024. And that's pretty amazing, because it let us do a lot of things. We sent missionaries to Honduras. We sent missionaries to Chile twice. And we brought missionaries here who we partner with. And we got to hear their stories. And we got to love on them and care for them. And we got to see each other face to face and know that we supported their work. Our youth group got to go to the One Conference. And they got to go to Winterfest and have an all-school retreat and a fall retreat because of that giving. And our Caring and Sharing, which is a pretty special program, had $30,000 to spend for or families who were in need. Now in 2025, our budget, proposed budget, is $1,046,494,000. And there are handouts available that will break these numbers down for you. But I want to give you a summary. 80% of contributions go to ministries. That means our missionaries, our staff, our local outreach, and our caring and sharing. That's a big number. 12% of the contributions spent keeping the facilities going so that we can all be here and be comfortable and then make them available to the community. And then the rest of it is what I would call operational administrative sort of spending in each of our ministry areas, like youth, campus, children, hospitality, visitor care, worship, communications, and admin. And this $1 million budget will allow us to do more things. Mission trips to Honduras are expected this year. Mission trips to Croatia and Kenya, as well as bringing those missionaries here so we can see them, they can see us. The campus group will go to Gulf Coast Getaway and Communiversity. And our caring and sharing will have 10 more additional $1,000 to spend and have available for family assistance. So Southside's blessed. And these numbers show that Southside's been a blessing and managed well the resources that God has given us. All right, that's it. That's four. So these are the highlights for 2025. And before I turn the time back over to Barrett, leadership wants to say that we are incredibly thankful to our ministers for what they do. And to the three ladies, very special ladies, who've stood up and helped keep the children's ministry going when we're without a children's minister at this point. That is a labor of love, for sure. And they've done well. We want to thank our ministry leaders. We want to thank all their volunteers. We want to thank all of our teachers. And we want to thank everybody that shows up and extends friendship and family to the people who are sitting next to you in the pew, to the people that you're doing life with in life group, or to the Southside body generally. I know it's a big group to get to know. I also want you to, one more thing, I want you to know that you're invited to a conversation with the shepherds about any of the areas that we've talked about, and even the ones that we have not that are on your mind. It would be very easy for you to be a part of a conversation by just grabbing one of us and asking a question. We are a family of brothers and sisters, which means no second cousins, okay? Everybody's part of the body. Everybody's important. Just like Ephesians says, we committed, when we said we wanted to be members at Southside, we committed to each other to be family, to love one another, where the whole body is joined and held together, where every part is equipped, where every part is working, and that causes the body to grow and to flourish in love. And that is our ongoing prayer for Southside for 2025. I appreciate your time, and now we'll have a time of communion.
Amen. Thank you, Chad. I turned 52 this year, and I really do mean this. I feel like I'm 20. I feel like that emotionally, socially, in many ways, physically. I was telling Karen this just the other day. I feel like in some ways my life is just getting started. And then there's my left ankle. Especially during this time of the year when it's cold and damp outside, my left ankle likes to remind me that it's 52 years old. It feels 52. It's not just 52, but it feels 52. I've told this to many of you, but I had arthroscopic surgery on my ankle a long time ago after playing basketball. Essentially, the bone was dead, I was told. I had sprained it so many times. The doctor said every time I sprained it, it was just like hitting it with a hammer. And so what they had to do, these surgeons had to go in and kind of drill some holes into it. I don't want to make anybody wheezy this morning, but you know, they had to drill some holes into it and kind of try to get the blood flow and the life back to that ankle. And most days I don't even think about it. But there are days when it reminds me that it's there. It was just, I think, 3 or 4 Sundays ago during the Bible class time, I was in here stretching. I woke up that morning, that Sunday morning, and I didn't think I was going to be able to walk on it. It just kind of hurt. It's like an inner kind of throbbing. It just hurts. And I was concerned I wasn't going to be able to stand up here in front of you and preach. And Gregory, and then I think also Alex Meyer walked in on me, and I'm up here doing kind of like pregame stretches, getting ready to preach, hoping that my ankle would hold up. But I share that with you this morning to illustrate something important, and that is the importance of considering and recognizing every part of your body. That's the part of the theme of our family conversation this morning. We want to consider and recognize all parts of our body, even the ankle bone. Because I want to share with you this morning from 1 Corinthians 11 as we gather around this table together. It's a text that is often used at a time of communion. And I'm just going to read one verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. Paul writes these words to the church at Corinth. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup without recognizing, and that's a great word. It's a really good word. Depending on your translation, it can read without honoring, without acknowledging, without discerning, without considering. All those are really good translations of that word. The body of the Lord, then you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. If Paul's language there sounds like a warning to you, it's because it is a warning to the church. Paul uses very intense, very strong language here to emphasize the significance of this meal. That when we gather together for this meal, it's an important opportunity for us to humbly and genuinely recognize, consider the body of Christ. Now, typically, we understand the body of Christ to mean the literal body of Jesus that was given on the cross. And so, to recognize or to consider the body of Christ means to remember his physical sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. And that's a good practice. That's a good use of this time. However, when Paul says here that we're to consider and to honor and to recognize the body of the Lord, he is at least also referring to, if not primarily referring to, the church. To you and me. As Chad has done such a great job this morning of expressing, we are the body of Christ. In fact, contextually, Paul will use these exact words just one chapter later in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when he writes, we are members of the one body of Jesus Christ that's made up of many different parts. And so when you think of the body of the Lord, not as the body of Jesus on the cross, but instead as the body of Jesus known as the church, then you hear Paul's warning to consider or to recognize or to honor the body a little differently. I appreciate so much the message that has been shared with us this morning on behalf of the leadership team and the biblical emphasis on how we're family, how we're brothers and sisters, how we're a body made up of many different parts. I share this. Those of you that have been through the Southside 101 class know this as part of my story. But one of the primary reasons that Karen and I chose to leave over 18 years ago now, a campus ministry at the University of Georgia that we loved, in order to come to Southside, was to be a part of this leadership team. It has been and continues to be, you know, one of the great blessings of my life and of my family's life to get to do life with this team. I greatly respect and deeply trust the shepherds of our church family. And I want you to know something. I want you to know something about this group of shepherds. They consider the body. They recognize the body. They humbly and genuinely and prayerfully desire to honor every part of the body. And if you hear that, and if you get that, then you hear and you get what Paul is asking for us to do when we take this meal. It's a time when we're to stop thinking about what's going on in our life individually, or where we're going to go eat dinner afterwards, or what's coming up next in our world, but we're to stop and consider the body. Recognize the body. That's why it's important for us all to be together around the table. You see, there's a horizontal aspect to this meal. It's not all vertical. When we consider the body of Jesus on the cross, that's vertical. Yet, as I've said, I think the context of Paul's letter suggests that we're to use this time to consider the body of Jesus known as the church, and that's horizontal. We are to take this time to consider the body made up of its many parts. And so this morning, part of what we're going to do together as we eat the bread and drink the cup is we're going to consider the body of Christ known as the church. Now, something that our campus minister, Trace Lee, and if you're here and you haven't gotten to meet Trace and Jenna, man, it's a blessing to have them on staff. And to see how the Lord's using them on campus. And I know many of you are partnering with them in prayer and helping with suppers and things. And just, man, what a blessing they are to us and to this campus community. But Trace says something. I know we talk about the bingo card. We could have a bingo card for Trace. I have a list of Trace-isms if you ever want to. But Trace says something that I've picked up on, and I really like it. But when you're in a setting where someone is sharing their heart, or sharing maybe something that they're struggling with, or something that's hard in their life, he listens to them. He listens well. He's an active listener. And then he responds to them by saying, to show them that he's been listening well to them, he'll say, "I see you in your struggle," or I see that this is causing pain in your life." He sees them because we want to be seen in our struggle. We want to be seen in our difficulty. And I really like that, because when Paul says, that we are to consider, we are to recognize the body of Christ, that's what he's asking us to do. He wants us to see each other. So, to help with this, I came up with a few questions for us to consider, and we can ask ourselves during this time. I'm just going to share these questions that I've come up with. Number one, is there anyone who's part of the body of Christ who has something against you or you have something against them? Number two, is there anyone who's part of the body of Christ who is lonely? You know, there's nothing as lonely as being lonely when you're with a group of people. Is there anyone who's part of the body of Christ who is feeling marginalized in some way? Is there anyone who's part of the body of Christ who is hurting? Is there anyone you know who's not part of the body of Christ? And so to use Jesus' words, they're lost. And you could use this time praying for them. Chad mentioned all the one another commands that we see all throughout the New Testament. Love one another, serve one another, show hospitality to one another, forgive one another, bear with each other's burdens. And as you're recognizing and considering the body of Christ this morning, is there a way for you to obey one of those one another commands this week with someone who's part of the body of Christ? Here's the thing. You can come up with lots of other, your own questions to ask yourself during this time. But I'm convinced that Paul exhorts us here in 1 Corinthians that when we take this meal, we are to consider one another. We are to take time to consider each other, the body, known as the church. And just perhaps the best way that we can recognize what Jesus did in his body on the cross is for us to recognize his body that he died for, known as the church. And so here's what we're going to do this morning. We are going to recognize the body of Jesus on the cross, and we're going to recognize the body of Jesus known as the church. And so we're going to sing two songs and give everyone an opportunity to come to one of the tables and get your bread and your juice. And then once we sing those two songs and everyone has returned to their seat, I'll come back up here and lead us with our prayers. So let's sing together and come to the tables.